Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Velocity Cast. I hope you've had a fantastic week since last time. This week, I wanted to talk about some interesting science that I recently started reading about and heard about. This came from a podcast between Andrew Huberman and David Goggins, and they were talking about resilience. And as it turns out, there is new evidence that is starting to back some kind of anecdotal theories about toughness and mental toughness and the importance of building resilience and the importance of doing hard things. And, you know, I also want to talk about the flip side to this, or the other side of the argument, because there has been some evidence, you know, that points to some contradictory things, and I certainly don't want to paint a biased picture. But it's kind of exciting for people like myself who have kind of long held the belief that doing some of these things is beneficial, and having some new information and newer data to start to verify these things is great, because it just gives a little bit more credence to some of these beliefs and some of these things that that I've personally felt have been true for me in my life. And so when we talk about resilience, there are a few things to consider, or a few factors that are kind of important when it comes to this new scientific data that we're going to talk about. So when we're talking about resilience, I'm specifically referring to the act of doing things that you don't want to do. Now, this is important because sometimes we do things that are challenging, and or they're initially challenging. And when we get a little better at that thing, we start to enjoy that thing more, and we enjoy doing it, or we stop pushing ourselves, or it loses that rigor that it once had. So when I'm talking about resilience, or things that build resilience, I'm specifically referring to doing things you don't want to do, or doing things that are uncomfortable, all right? And fitness is a good example of this, because no matter how fit you get, you really just kind of earn the ability to do more fitness. I mean, it's one of the reasons that I fell in love with CrossFit as a training methodology, and why many other people feel the same way, because the more fit you get, the harder it gets, because your work capacity increases, you're able to do more work in the same amount of time, and therefore you're able to push yourself harder in workouts. So you never really adapt to a place where the workout gets easy. So with regard to resilience, again, we're talking about things that you don't want to do. So things like taking cold showers, or cold plunging in general, things like pushing yourself in workouts, which obviously gets incrementally harder to do the more fit you get. It could be being disciplined enough to do the work that you need to do even when you don't really feel like it. So being able to not procrastinate, being able to kind of buckle down and get things done. All of this kind of falls under this bucket of resilience. Now, what has been more recently discovered is that there is a small structure in the brain called the anterior mid-cingulate cortex, or the AMCC. Now, what they have found is that this particular brain structure is largest in people who age more gracefully. So, and this was measured by cognition. So the vast majority of people who were older yet had cognitive function of those much younger than them. So, you know, you're taking people in their 70s who have cognitive function similar to those half their age, right? So, you know, high capacity for brain power, brain output, they're not battling dementia. They're still, you know, as we'd say, they're very sharp in their old age. These people consistently had a larger anterior mid-cingulate cortex. Now, this area of the brain was also smaller in obese people. So they started studying or measuring this brain area in a bunch of different types of people once they started to see some of these findings. And so it was much smaller in obese people. But those people, when they started dieting, or when they started actually losing weight and changing their nutrition to a healthier plan, this area of the brain, the AMCC, actually increased in size. What they also found was that it was abnormally high, or much larger, in athletes. And they also found that once it grew to a certain size, it didn't shrink, right? So building this area of the brain, by engaging in activities that drive resilience, that create resilience. It actually led to the growth of this brain area, and then that brain area did not atrophy or shrink from there. So it appears as if, and again, this is newer data, so it appears as if doing challenging things, doing hard things that we don't want to do, leads to a permanent positive change and permanent growth in this brain area. Now, they found that it was specifically doing things that we don't want to do that leads to this. So again, as I defined resilience or activities that build resilience before, it can't be something that you enjoy doing or look forward to doing. It has to be something challenging, something that causes stress to the body or to the mind. So it's not, hobbies or things that you enjoy, even if they were at one point difficult. The fitness thing is a little bit interesting here because obviously people who tend to do more fitness or do more exercise tend to enjoy the benefits of that exercise. But I would also argue that most of the time, those people may not enjoy the actual process of exercising itself. So it's still a challenging process, even though they enjoy how it makes them feel, the end results, all those things. But training itself is challenging. And so it kind of creates that environment of stress that we need for this brain region, the AMCC, to grow. And so essentially what we're starting to realize or starting to see is that choosing to do hard things actually makes us more resilient to the effects of aging. So this has been a kind of long-held, again, anecdotal belief, but now we're starting to see a correlation between the size of this brain region, the activities that cause its growth, and long-term cognitive ability and overall wellness in old age. Now, to kind of argue the opposite side of this, there have been other studies that have shown no direct correlation or carryover between the ability to endure discomfort in one avenue and the ability to endure discomfort in another avenue. So there have been some limited studies that basically a lot of this was done on the around the concept of cold plunging, right? Where people who, say or talk about the benefits of cold plunging, which again, not necessarily heavily researched, and there's a lot of data coming out about this because it's obviously very popular now. But there were some studies done which basically said that they could not show a correlation between increased capacity for discomfort in an area like cold plunging and increased ability to handle discomfort in other areas. So it was basically they were trying to disprove this universal applicability law when it comes to building resilience and building toughness. And they were trying to show that you can't necessarily translate that toughness from one field to another. So there is potentially some validity to that where, yeah, maybe you can't say in a broad stroke or broad statement that building mental toughness or physical toughness will translate to all avenues. But resilience, like anything, is built over time. It is a trained skill. And if you develop the ability to deal with discomfort in a certain capacity, if you choose to do hard things in your life, when you are forced to deal with hard things, which will inevitably happen, then you will have an increased capacity to deal with that stress. And now we're starting to see that with this anterior mid-cingulate cortex, it grows by doing these hard things and does not shrink in size. So two individuals who have different size anterior mid-cingulate cortexes are going to deal with certain situations in a different way. One will have an increased capacity versus the other. Now, there needs to be more work done in this area. There need to be more studies done in this area, but we're starting to see a correlation. Now, the other counter argument I would make is, okay, maybe there isn't this broad applicability, as some studies have tried to show. But the other thing we have to look at is, are the type of individuals who choose to do hard things and therefore have a larger AMCC, they're likely making better life decisions in other areas as well. So, for example, those who are disciplined in a broad sense are going to be more disciplined in all things, right? And so just because somebody builds resilience by doing the things they don't want to do, that person is already hardwired to likely make better food choices because they're going to be better at resisting temptation and cravings. They're probably going to be better about not, you know, drinking excessively or smoking or doing all these other things because they have that discipline. And so you're kind of self-selecting for a group of people who are likely going to age more gracefully anyways. So again, we may not be able to prove causation, you know, with regards to the size of this brain region and some of those other things. But, you know, as more work gets done, as this is researched more, these are interesting findings that are worth thinking about. And, you know, if there is this uptick in AMCC size in those who are older and staying mentally acute or staying healthy or living better quality lives, then I think it's worth it for us to kind of investigate this further and to really consider doing things that develop discipline, that develop toughness, that develop resilience. Because even if it turns us into the type of person who self-selects in other positive ways, well, one could argue that the result occurs, the positive benefit occurs regardless of the direct cause, right? And so I think by focusing on building discipline, by focusing on doing these tasks that we know are good for us that we don't necessarily want to do, by doing that consistently over time, we are going to live a better quality life and age in a better way anyways, regardless of the direct cause of those things. And so I think it's worth us investigating, and I think it proves in a broader sense that it is beneficial to willingly do hard things. And we're starting to see more evidence to support that. I think it's a really interesting thing to continue to study and read about. You know, I'm going to continue to look at the research. Again, I didn't want to provide a biased viewpoint, even though I very clearly believe a certain thing in regards to this. But it's important to look at both sides of the coin, look at all the studies, look at all the data. And it's one of those things that's going to be an exciting discovery and an exciting discussion point in neuroscience and brain chemistry and all of these things for many years to come. So building resilience by doing hard things, by choosing to do the things we don't want to do, may very well have a direct positive benefit on long-term health and wellness. So until next time, I hope you all have a wonderful weekend.